Hello and welcome to
Ghost Me,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We watched Ghost Watch from 1992. Everyone is mowing their lawn right now. Unfortunately,
he just started mowing his lawn again. What's happening?
This was directed by Leslie Manning, who directed like some TV stuff. I think she also directed an anthology show called Ghosts. Let me double check. Yeah, it's called Ghosts, and it's about ghosts. But I don't think she's not like a horror director, which fits because this isn't like a horror movie. This is something very unique. And what's really funny is we watched Deadstream the night before this. We did not mean to do that. It wasn't like meant to be related. Yeah. But after watching that, it was like, oh, is Deadstream just like the modern version of Ghost Watch? I think we'll get into that more when we talk about Deadstream. But this movie, we're not going to talk spoilers in the beginning, like usual. But it's basically a quote-unquote live, it wasn't actually live, but it was a BBC like news report exploring this supposed like paranormal activity in some house in London, Britain.
London, yeah.
Okay. And the funny thing is I actually did a little bit of research, because this is one of those things I feel like there's like mythology behind this. It's kind of like a game of telephone, because it's from 92 and it's such a weird unique thing. And I was telling you, like, I think they played this as if it was like a live broadcast that was meant to like explore this poltergeist possession thing going on, but it was all like fake and staged. And I was like, let me double check to make sure I got that right. And it turns out that this was advertised as a drama. And up front, it said it was like directed by so-and-so. But this is one of the interesting things about television that you can't really do anymore, is that there were all these people who tuned in while it was in progress and didn't realize that it was fake. They thought it was real because it really presents itself like... Yeah. A news broadcast. And apparently there was a ton of controversy around this because people were like experiencing PTSD and all this weird trauma from watching this and thinking it was real. And the other thing that's super interesting is there are people who claim that when they watched it live, there was like much more graphic stuff that was being displayed. Okay. Which there's no evidence that this is true. Everyone who made it said this is not true. So it's this weird, like, this kind of mass hysteria thing where you have to imagine that people who didn't know what they were in for probably watched it and were freaked the fuck out by it.
Yeah.
And so their memory of it was so much worse than the reality, which is just so, it's so interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so, like, you really, this is one of those things you can't do again. It's kind of like the Blair Witch Project, you know, which also... I feel like that was the next time people tried to do this, to pass it off as something real. Mm-hmm. And there are a few times when this has happened, because this was inspired by a radio show called War of the Worlds, which I brought up with you, and I don't think you'd heard of it. Mm-hmm. So that was from 1938, and it was basically this radio show where they were acting like there was an alien invasion happening, and it was a fictional show. But people were tuning in and they thought it was real and aliens were actually invading and people were freaking out. And so this was kind of inspired by that. And they wound up doing the same thing, basically, and like traumatizing all these people. So it is really fascinating. And I thought it was it's especially interesting because nowadays there are so many movies coming out that like try to do this on purpose. You know, yeah. Not the like tricking people part, but the like trying to emulate these certain styles, like Late Night with the Devil. Mm-hmm. Did it recently, but trying to set this up, I mean, in Deadstream, like we said. Yeah. Deadstream is like the YouTube streamer version of this, essentially. And that's so interesting that they pulled this off and they were so ahead of its time with it, and now we're trying to recreate that.
Yeah.
You know, but how did you like this?
It was okay. I liked it, you know. It was, I mean, some of it was probably unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
But it does capture, I mean, because it literally is set in that time, but like it does capture that like weird 90s era of Halloween.
Well, I think it's like, yeah, it was broadcast on Halloween. which is another thing. Like, I miss this kind of event thing for Halloween, you know? And like, I wish I could have experienced this. That would have been so cool. Especially like, imagine watching this as a kid. That would have been the coolest shit ever. You'd remember it your whole life.
Yeah.
You know? One of the funny things though, when we were watching it, this is always kind of sat in my watch list because I was like, I feel like I've seen this, but I don't remember. And we both said the same thing. It was this weird thing.
It's weird because like, you can't tell if it's like, at least for me, if it's nostalgia of that time, because you know, we both like were kids during the 90s.
Yeah.
So like this, there were these types of programs in the U.S. So it's like weird. It's like, do I remember watching this movie or am I just like experiencing some weird nostalgia?
Well, I don't think I would have had access to it back then.
Oh, no. But we'd have to look. But I don't know when it aired in the U.S. Obviously couldn't have pulled it off like that in the U.S.
I think it's more that I've heard so many people talk about this and I feel like, I think I've seen that. And I just realized today, because one of the funny things I mentioned is like, I feel like I have a take for this, which I'll get into, that I know I wrote down somewhere and I was so confused because I was like, when the fuck did I see this? And it turns out it was the WNUF Halloween special. I think that's what it's called, which is basically the exact same thing that came out in 2013, directed by Chris LaMartina, and
which is cool.
Yeah, it's a cool like kind of recreation of this thing, but it's like, oh, that's what I saw. I didn't see Ghostwatch. I saw that, and funnily enough, I have the same take. I think, although I think Ghostwatch is better, for sure. Which is essentially, I mean, to go into it right now, if we're talking like just our general thoughts, I feel like the early parts of this are kind of slow and kind of boring in the way that an early 90s news program would be.
Oh, no, you know what I mean? The exact same take.
Yeah, and it's not even like a negative because I think it does a good job of like lulling you in and kind of like I can really imagine if you're watching this at the time, it would just feel like just any live news program.
Yeah, they do all the cliche things and it's supposed to be happening in real time, so of course things are going to take time to pop up.
Makes
sense. Pacing totally makes sense. It is a little boring, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's not really a complaint because it is like, I don't know how else they could have done it. Like that's the best way to recreate it.
Yeah.
But it really does have a big payoff. And I think that slow buildup, like it does a good job of, I guess, making you feel like you're not prepared for the payoff when it hits. So it makes it hit harder and it makes more sense that people got really fucking freaked out by it. But one thing I read that was fascinating, you're gonna love this.
Okay.
Because I was gonna tell you last night, I was like, wait, let me tell her on the podcast because I'm about to blow your fucking mind.
Oh my God, here we go.
You have no idea what I'm gonna say.
No, I have no idea.
So, do you remember while we were watching the movie, you kept mentioning, like, do you hear this high-pitched noise?
Yeah.
Like, you kept saying that, and then I started hearing it, too. Like, is this random? And we were like, is that just something with the feed or something?
Yeah, I assumed it was, like, a technical difficulty.
So I read that they had planned on including this really high-pitched noise in the broadcast because they were – the idea was, oh, we're going to play this sound that normal people can't hear, but their pets will hear it. So their pets will start freaking out
during
the broadcast. But here's the crazy thing. They mentioned that multiple times and they said they didn't do it because they said that it's something about the way it's broadcast, you know, like the wave band was like much more limited, so they wouldn't be able to do that. So they scrapped the idea. But I'm reading it like, wait, we experienced that.
Yeah, it was driving me crazy for a little bit, but I was like, okay, it's old. Like, it probably is just a technical difficulty.
Yeah, so that when I read that, I was like, what the fuck? You got to be kidding me. Because we definitely, while we were watching it, we're having that experience. So I don't know what that's about. If we just created like an urban legend around this or something. But that was our experience before I read that. So that blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, I thought we have been having issues with a speaker. And I assumed maybe it was that, or it was like, it's just really old. So maybe the audio got compressed weird or something. So, but I kept hearing it and I had to like keep asking you to make sure because it was like driving me crazy.
Yeah, that was really crazy. I don't know. This is going kind of long. I think before we just fully get into spoilers, I'll just say, yeah, this was, it's such an interesting slice of TV history. I think it is really fascinating. I think if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking it out for sure. You know, and be prepared that, like, it's not some, like, fast-paced horror movie or something. Like, it very much is, like, a 90s TV broadcast. But they do something with it that is just so crazy that, like, you could never do it now. You know, so it's this perfect piece of history in that way. So I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I did too. And I think this is, like, a perfect movie for, like, Halloween. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, to watch with friends. Like, it's fun and it's weird.
Yeah, this would be a perfect thing to watch, like, on Halloween to celebrate. Why don't we just get into spoilers and really talk about it? So, yeah, one of the things that I think they do super well with this is, you know, like I said early on, it is very slow paced. It does feel like it feels like you're legitimately looking through history at this TV broadcast from, like, a bygone era. Like, I almost felt kind of nostalgic, even though obviously I wasn't watching stuff from the BBC back then. I was like 8, I think. But it has that feel of, like, that kind of old school news report, and, like, you've got the people in the background taking phone calls live and everything. Like, it really captures that so well. And I think the idea of doing something live like this on Halloween, like, that's the thing that makes me nostalgic. It's like, man, I miss that kind of stuff. Because that added so much to the Halloween spirit for me. It was like stuff like this, which you just can't get anymore. It's like, okay, maybe a movie will get released on streaming on Halloween Day, but it's like, that's not the same. It doesn't feel as, like, alive, you know?
Yeah, there's something about, like, the 90s to early 2000s Halloween that's, like, doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, a lot of it's probably just us
being
old and having nostalgia for it. But I do, like, like, we've watched on YouTube, like, rolls of commercials, you know, Halloween commercials from back then and stuff. And that it just, there's a coziness to that that we're missing. It also reminded us how, like, the world fucking sucks. Because remember, there were commercials where they'd be like, and go to your local grocery store to get, like, free safety gear for trick-or-treating and, like, all this stuff that, like, we don't do that shit anymore. No. Like, everything.
People barely trick or treat anymore.
Capitalism's ruined everything. Yeah. But anyway, for the movie, though, I did think it was cool how they really lean into, like, they lull you in so perfectly. Because even the way that they introduce the paranormal stuff, it's all stuff that's, like, kind of low key that can be explained, you know, with the noises and stuff. And and eventually they do treat it like, oh, it's all a hoax that the daughter was involved in, you know, she was just banging on the pipes and stuff. So all of it feels like it can be explained pretty easily, even though they do this genius job of having this ghost figure show up in the background a lot. And they play into that where it's like the viewers are calling in and saying that they saw it and they're trying to, like, roll the tape back and they can't see it and everything. It just, it really does a good job of creeping that idea in like very slowly and making you feel like you don't know what's real and what's not. And even, like, the lore around the idea that all this stuff was happening here, it felt very much like It and, like, Derry, where it's, like, this location where bad things keep happening because of some force. It's like, I don't know, it's this interesting balancing act, because some of the things, like, the main ghost, I guess, is some dude who, like, hung himself and cats ate his face or something. It's like, it sounds kind of cheesy when they first say it, but it starts to develop this, like, interesting mythology. And when things really start to go crazy, there is, like, this clear danger, you know, this real haunting. It makes it, like, extra scary because you've kind of been put into this comfortable space of, like, oh, okay, this isn't real, you know? I mean, did all that stuff work for you?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of already talked about the nostalgia aspect, but
I think, part of what works for me with all that, I've always been someone that I'm not really into ghost story stuff. I just don't think it's very scary. I feel like there has to be a real, like, physical threat for it to actually feel scary to me, you know?
Okay.
And they do a good job with that, too, because when things do start going crazy and it's not just, like, you know, little noises and stuff, you do get the sense that they're in actual danger.
Yeah. Well, I think a really good aspect that kind of lent to that, especially with it probably, you know, being live streamed, was having
live stream.
Whatever. Well, I mean, God, like, what is that, broadcast? Yes. Live broadcast? Whatever.
Our brains are so
broken.
Leave
me alone. I liked the aspect of having the main reporter and I guess he was handling the phones, them being married.
Yeah.
Like, it added an extra layer of, like, concern. Because, like, obviously you're going to be concerned about a coworker, but it, like, added this extra layer of this man being worried about his wife's safety in the house. Like, I thought it was interesting.
There were definitely moments of, they were walking this, like, very fine line where it's, like, when you know it's fake, it's the line between them, you know, being actors and playing like real people.
Yeah.
Like, you could see how, like, when they started getting a little crazier with it, it's like it becomes more clear that they're acting.
Yeah.
But it was like this nice line. And I think if you didn't know that this was fake, it's probably much more believable.
Yeah, it's that Nathan Fielder kind of line.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and it's cool how, like, they even set it up, because it does that thing where every step of the way they start trying to explain it to keep it more grounded. And there's the point where things get really crazy, but then the broadcast comes back and they're just, like, sitting and eating.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then they find out, like, oh, it's this old video that's looping, so you don't even know what's actually happening. And I think the creepiest part is toward the end when the little girl disappears into that little cupboard, which they call the fucking glory hole. Like, okay. I'm sorry, you guys over there, you're fucking terminology sometimes.
That totally threw me off guard, because I heard her say it and I'm like, wait, did she say?
I'm wondering if that has a very different meaning.
Oh, it has
over
to.
There. Yeah, I don't know if they'd be saying it on the news. Yeah. It was a little weird. But the way that the one reporter, like, goes after her and kind of gets yanked in, the door closes, like, that stuff is creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it honestly, it reminded me of, like, this recurring nightmare I had when I was a kid.
Oh,
of this, like, shadow man that would stalk me and, like, try to pull me into the closet. It just makes me think of that, because that idea of being stuck in this pitch black little closet and not being able to see, like, what is there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's, there's something about that that just hits me, especially.
Well, we're gonna have to talk about this on the podcast, but I mean, your cousins did lock you down in the basement when you were a kid.
Holy shit.
So, I wonder.
Did we just uncover my trauma? Shit.
It's messed up.
I don't talk to any of them anymore. Who gives a fuck? Yeah, it works. I think it's still, like, it's pretty creepy, even for someone who's, like, not a ghost head. It still is pretty creepy. And I can only imagine, back then. Oh my God, people were probably, like, burning their houses down and, like, losing their fucking minds. People had to be so scared. And I did hear it legitimately traumatized a lot of people. And that's where, like, a lot of the controversy came from.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they ever broadcast it after this. But I'm glad that, like, it has survived history and we're able to watch it now, because it is legitimately, like, something special. I think it's really cool. Yeah, I don't know what else I could say. Do you got anything else you wanted to mention?
I will say the way they did the production design and the set design was so, like, invisible. Like, it
really,
it didn't look like it was, like, a set. It looked like it was somebody's house. It looked lived in. It had dishes, and the girls are just in some regular ass pajamas, and they have little posters on the wall. I just thought those are nice details that, like, make it convincing, and I think that was cool.
Yeah, shout out to the child actors, because
oh my God,
it's very easy to fuck that up. They did a good job too.
They did a great job.
See, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghostbeast Pod, and you can follow Ghostbeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything that we watch. How do you feel about above Saltburn and below Grave Encounters?
I don't know. I think I like Saltburn more.
Puts it above Lisa Frankenstein.
Well, that's just not right.
Below?
I mean, I think so. What do you think?
Above Quiet Place Day One. That, I think, yes. Okay. I was going to say, because it does feel like it should be right below Grave Encounters, because Grave Encounters does something similar, but I think it's more effective, even if it's not, like, as important historically.
No, I think that's a... Wait, where is...
So it's above A Quiet Place Day One and below Lisa Frankenstein, which puts it at number 25 on our list. And you can email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com with anything.
Well, I'm curious. I have seen that we do have some UK listeners, so I'm just curious if anyone in the UK saw this live.
If you're an old piece of shit like us and you actually were able to watch it in 92, that would be cool.
Yeah, or you have like a family member who watched it live or something.
Yeah, like your grandparents.
Okay. I don't think, anyway, yeah. Bye. I'm just curious. Why do you cut me off?